Hello and welcome to the Loft Church weekly podcast in Amarillo, Texas. Each week we seek to challenge, encourage, equip, and empower you to become faithful followers of Jesus Christ through gospel-centered worship. Thanks for joining us, and we hope that you are blessed by today's message from lead pastor Matt Johnson as he takes us through the Bible verse by verse.
All right, let me tell you a story. About 10 years ago, Bentley was playing baseball. And so me and Bentley and Zane, we went over to the children's home on Western. They have some baseball fields over there. And so Bentley has practice. And at the end of practice, we head back to my house and we pull into the driveway and I turn off the car and I look to the back and it looks something's wrong and it hits me. I'm like, hey, Bentley, where's Zane at? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, what, really? You're just not going to say anything? I mean, and so I start getting on my six-year-old that I forgot my son at the baseball field at the children's home. And so we jump back in the car and we go back to the children's home and Zane's kind of wandering around in that field. If you've ever been by there, it's just in that baseball field. And one of the home parents or something was out there going, Zach, is that you? Is that you, Zach? He's like, no, it's not. He was scared and I finally get him in the car and we go home and you can imagine it wasn't a real good night for me. Just wasn't, right? We don't like to be left behind, do we? You ever felt like you were? You ever felt like you were forgotten? Like everybody else is moving forward, everybody else is on the go, but not you. That you don't even matter. And you've been forgotten. One Easter Sunday, there's more people that walk in the doors that feel that way about the Lord. And so over the next few minutes, I'm just going to share with you a story. And just maybe you can see that this is for you too. So let me just go through it for you. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he saw that it was good. He created Adam and Eve, and everything was good for like two pages in the Bible. That's it. We get to chapter 3, and the fall of man happens when they eat from the forbidden fruit. Sin entered the world, changed everything. But make no mistake, it wasn't like God was surprised. He had always known this was going to happen. And even right there in Genesis chapter 3 is the first mention of the gospel. It's called the Proto-Evangelion. God had a plan to redeem and reconcile his people back to him, but it was going to come at a price. You see, for a while, they would have these sacrifices of animals, and they followed laws and those things. But eventually, the ultimate lamb was going to have to come. And so one day, our God left the riches of heaven, and he was born of a virgin named Mary. His name was Jesus. He would walk amongst this earth for 30 years, kind of unassuming because we don't know hardly anything about it. We know he's perfect. When he was 30, he was picking his disciples, and then he ended up being at a wedding in Canaan. And they ran out of wine. His mother says, hey, they ran out of wine. And he says, woman, why are you involved me? It's not my time yet. And she says, do whatever he says. And soon Jesus will turn water into wine. From that moment, the miracles will begin to flow. The leper was healed. The cripple could walk. The blind could see. Jesus would feed thousands of people with the equivalent of a Lunchable. He was doing all kinds of things. People were rallying around just to see what he would do next. But the religious leaders, they hated him. And they really hated him whenever he claimed to be equal with God. When you're reading in the scriptures, when that happens, you can almost see their faces get red. As they would be so mad because that's blasphemy. Until one day, it was a Sunday, Palm Sunday. Last Sunday, where Jesus would come into Jerusalem. And as he was coming into town, they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, save us now. Their tone would soon change. You see, what they thought is Jesus was going to set up rule and reign and free them from Roman oppression. You know what we do and what they did back then is we have a tendency to apply the scriptures to what we think our greatest need is. And they thought it was Rome. Sometimes we think it's a sickness. We think it's relationship. We think it's finance. It's not. Our greatest need is always dealing with the issue of sin. And that's why he came. And that's why he died. Later on that week, Jesus would take his disciples and they would go into the upper room. They would have the Passover meal, and then they would have communion together, as Richard talked about it before. In the midst of that conversation, Jesus is going to have Judas go do what he had to do, which he would betray him for the dirty 30. He would look around and he would talk to his disciples and he would tell them that they were all going to fall away on account of him, which is what the scripture said, strike the shepherd, scatter the sheep. And one of the disciples was there and he's like, no, I'm not going anywhere. I would die for you. And Jesus said, not so fast, my friend. You'll deny me 3 times before the rooster crows. And that disciple that I'm talking about, his name was Peter. Soon they would go to the Garden of Gethsemane and Jesus would be praying to the Father, not my will, but your will be done. Shortly, the authorities would come to arrest him and they bring all kinds of guys. And it tells you how much they didn't know Jesus, because he didn't need a bunch of guys, because they were never going to take him. He went willingly. He's betrayed by a kiss and one of his disciples. I mean, he wanted to prove his worth. And so it's Peter. And so Peter starts welding the sword. And we still don't know if he's good or bad with that sword, because he cuts off an ear. And Jesus says, man, don't do that. And he puts the ear back on there. And when I see that and I think about Peter doing that, it's almost like he's saying, look, I will die for you. I will fight for you. But Jesus didn't need us to fight for him. He needed us to stand with him. Jesus would go with the authorities and the disciples would scatter. Peter would follow along in the distance. And as he was there in the courtyard, he would have a couple of encounters. Not influential people with a lot of power. It's like a girl sitting next to a campfire. Aren't you with Jesus? No, that's not me. Aren't you with him? No, I don't even know the guy. Aren't you with Jesus? I'm not with Jesus. He was belligerent about it. And that third time, the rooster would crow. In that moment, Jesus had said what was going to happen, and Peter would understand it, and it would hit him, and he would weep. Can you imagine how it would feel when you just recognize that you denied the Savior of the world as you thought you never would? During that time, Jesus was going through 6 trials, mockery of a trial. He was beaten beyond recognition. A crown of thorns was pressed into his head. He was spit on. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. They brought him before the people, and they had the opportunity to let him go, but they chose to release a perennial criminal named Barabbas. And instead of releasing him, they said, for Jesus, crucify him, crucify him. And so they would nail him to a cross where they would stretch him wide and hang him high. And on that cross, he who knew no sin would become sin so we could be the righteousness of God. When it was finished, he said it was so. And he said, tetelestai, which means paid in full. Our debt was paid. In that moment, as he took his last breath, it seemed like sin and death had won. But it just wasn't the case. He's put in the empty tomb. And that's where we pick up in Mark chapter 16. In Mark chapter 16, verse 1, it says, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. Now, very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? That's a valid question, right? You know, if me and you were going to go camping, which, by the way, ain't happening. But if we're going to go camping and we're in Powder Canyon and we're driving in, and I go, hey, I didn't bring a tent. You bring a tent? No. It's like, man, where are we going to stay? I mean, aren't there some questions that sometimes we're just asking and it's valid and we need to know? It was a valid question. I mean, the tomb was massive. It was large. And there's no way possible that they were going to move it. It could be moved, maybe with some wedges and some big Roman soldiers and a lot of manpower, but that's not what they had. You see, that stone is really a stone, but it's very symbolic as well. That stone here in the story also represents a stone that's in our life. An immovable thing that we couldn't deal with on our own. That we had to have somebody that was going to move it for us. It's just like in the story of David and Goliath that we like to talk about around here. If you know the story, remember who Goliath is in the story? Goliath is sin. And we're the Israelite that's over biting our nails saying, we need somebody to save us from that. We can't do anything about it. And Jesus swoops in and saves the day. The stone represents sin in our life. And who's going to move that stone? The same one that always has. When you walked in today, they probably handed you a little pebble. Hope you got one of those. And you've been holding on to it for just a little bit. That represents the sin in our life, the sin we have. But you don't have to keep that. In fact, we don't want you to. But when you leave today, there's a cross out there in the foyer, and there's a basket. And when you leave today, if you are trusting in the Lord Jesus as your Savior, toss that in that basket as a reminder that we don't have to walk in that anymore. But for those of you that are not believers, hang on to that stone. And maybe one day that'll be a reminder of this day and somebody that will move the stone for you too. Let's continue. Let's go to verse 4. It says, but when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Now, a number of times in scripture, there's going to be an angel show up, and many times they're like, hey, don't be scared, because they are scared, right? And so just think about this. The ladies get there. The tomb is open. The stone is rolled away. They're expecting to go anoint Jesus' body. His body's not there. And so they walk in. All of a sudden, there's this guy going, psst, right? Would you be scared? Of course you would be. I'll give you a little story. I don't remember this where this is at, but I was in a restaurant, I don't know, a couple of years ago. And I had to go to the bathroom. And so I go in the bathroom, and it's just not a, like, where there's not like a bunch of stalls or urinals. It's just like one. It's just a one-person bathroom. And so I go in the bathroom, and I'm there for just a second. All of a sudden, I hear, psst. I'm like, oh, no. This is horrible. Somebody's in here, like they're in the corner, because I didn't see them when I came in. And for long, I just figured out it was just the air freshener that just goes, psst, right? Oh, yeah. Whew, I was relieved. My heart was beating fast, right? That's what I think about, man. You're just going to be scared, and he's just right there. But then he responds, and he says, don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. In verse 7, he says, but go and tell his disciples and Peter. I love that. I love that he says, hey, go tell the disciples, but he also includes Peter. You know, the Peter that was the one that was always bold and audacious about things. It's the same Peter that would put his foot in his mouth. He's the same Peter who would say great things, and Jesus would pat him on the back forward, and then he would tell Jesus things aren't going to happen the way that he says it's going to, and Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Is that Peter? We're talking about the Peter that was so bold that he'd walk on water to Jesus. Talking about Peter that denied Christ not once, not twice, but three times. And he tells the ladies, when you get there, tell the disciples, you make sure you tell Peter. As if to say, don't forget about him. So let me just kind of tell you what I think when I think of this story. And it's just what goes through my head is I picture the disciples. And they're broken, and they're downcast, and they're just doing their thing, and here come the ladies. They're running back and they're like, he is risen. He's alive. He's gone. And the disciples, maybe their eyes kind of perk up a little bit like, that's amazing. That's amazing news. But can you imagine Peter? As he hears the commotion and what's going on, and the ladies are saying, hey, the angel said to tell the disciples. And in that moment, he must have thought, that's great, but it's no longer for me. Until he hears those words. They were told to tell the disciples, and also, hey, don't forget about Peter. Can you imagine when he hears those words, like me? After all I've done, after I rejected him over and over again, he still hasn't forgot about me. That Peter. He was never going to forget about Peter. Let me tell you a little story. Maybe 3 years ago or so, I don't know. I was talking to my dad, and it's a conversation. I don't even know how it got started. But we were talking about when my mom and dad lost their first child. It was a baby. In the midst of the conversation, we visited about how hard it was, and some of you guys in the room know how hard that is. Lisa and I do too. But as we talked, something hit me. My parents only ever wanted two kids. That's it. And I was the youngest. And so I told my dad, I said, hey, Dad, you know what I just thought about? I said, if that hadn't happened, you know what? You would never have me. And my dad kind of lowered his head. I could see the tears in his eyes. He says, oh, no, man. We would have always had you. But I knew better. But it was like my dad just sharing his heart, man. I know you and I love you. And there's no form or fashion or way I could ever imagine not having you. Church, that's my daddy's heart. Our Father's heart in heaven is even greater than that. And so as Peter's hearing those words, he's like, man, I thought you forgot about me. Oh, no. He knew Peter, and he loved Peter. He was never going to forget about Peter. So I just want you guys to stand. I'm going to tell you one more thing, and we're going to sing this great song, like an anthem for our church right now. I run around this place a lot. Like during the week, I'm working on my sermons, and my prayer has been this. Is that somebody in here today walked in and somebody was promising something great, like a meal afterwards. So follow through on that. Give it to them. But they come and they see people celebrate and get excited about the risen Savior, but they really don't think it applies to them. They've done too much. They've gone too far. And my prayer has been that somebody would hear the message about Peter. And somewhere in their spirit, that they would scream out, don't forget about me. And I want you to know, if you confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart, he won't forget about you. He was never going to forget about you. Here in just a second, we're going to have people at the back for prayer if you need some prayer. If you're somebody that, man, you say that for the first time, man, don't forget about me, God. Will you go back there? And will you pray with them and let them know what God's doing right here in your life today? If that's the case, then let us know. We'd love to walk with you down this journey. During this time, the altar's always open if you want to come pray. There's a prayer room out in the foyer. Let me pray for us. matters. Father, we thank you for your love and grace. God, you're good and faithful. And Lord, you know my prayers. Lord, I pray that those that walk in that don't know you know that it's possible, that no matter what they've done, that you're still there and still willing. Lord, I know you want to show them. I know that you want them to be able to celebrate the victory that we have in you. Lord, eliminate those obstacles. Let them see the truth and eliminate the lies. God, today is a great day. But God, I pray it's not the greatest day. I pray that we go on tomorrow and just like today, that we rejoice in a risen Savior. God, we love you. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for that empty tomb. We thank you for the victory over sin and death. We praise your name this morning. Amen.
Well, if you enjoyed this message, there's a couple things we'd love for you to do. Go to your favorite podcast catcher and subscribe. Rate and review this podcast. This helps get the word out. And don't forget to download our church app, visit our social media, and check out our website, theloft.church. Thanks again for joining us on the Loft Church Weekly Podcast. Remember, it's not about you and me, it's about a Savior named Jesus. Go make him famous.